This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222. No questions too dumb, no questions too tough, no questions too embarrassing. 800-222-5222.
In its new home on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I want to thank KABC for the smooth transition this week. What's my show about? If you're new to me, we answer your questions live on the air. Whatever medical question you have, whatever you're worried about your health, your family's health, and maybe it's not a specific question about your health. Maybe it's about the consequences of becoming sick on you and your family. Whatever it is, I'm live in the studio, and you can call me here at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Now, recently, the feds came out with some new food guidelines. They want you to eat differently than you have before. And what they're saying is this: fat is back. Fat is good for you. Yes, you heard me right. They're telling you that fat is good. Now, this is a complete reversal of everything we've been saying for, 20-odd years? Low-fat diets were everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. So why are they changing their minds? Well, usually when this happens in what I call a Luke, I am your father moment, which means that there's a complete reversal, they got the science really wrong. Now, back in the day when I was a young whippersnapper in Dublin, I heard all about this low-fat stuff, and I was excited because this was new science. Butter was bad for you. Eggs would kill you. Forget steaks. Shrimp, oh my God, don't eat shrimp. So what happened? I burst into my great-grandmother. She was all of, 91 at the time, thin as a rake, healthy, and said to her, Granny, the food you've been serving us is killing us, and I mean literally killing us. And she looked at me, just flabbergasted. What are you talking about at all? I said, Granny, the Harvard School of Public Health has said we're all getting heart attacks because of fat, because we're eating butter, because we're eating eggs. And she just had this bemused look in her face and said, I'm 91 years of age. I've been eating butter all my life. And now you're telling me it's going to kill me. Well, I had an equal bemused look on my face because I was young and I had the wisdom of youth. I knew I was right because I was tomorrow. She was so obviously yesterday. Now, the thing is, why did Harvard say this? Why did they say we needed to go on a low-fat diet? Well, the theory was very simple. You were eating all this fat in your diet. It clogged up your arteries and gave you a heart attack or a stroke. So we take the fat out. We stop you eating that food. Your arteries wouldn't be clogged. You wouldn't have a heart attack. You wouldn't stroke. Simple, logical, perfect. But what happens when you strip fat out of food? Which is essentially what we did. We stripped all the fat out of good food in factories, in plants. We went in there, pulled all the fat out, and we added stuff. Why do we have to add stuff? Because when you pull fat out of food, guess what? It tastes just awful. You wouldn't eat it. You would never go back for seconds, ever. So to get you to eat it, to get you addicted, to get you to keep buying the food, they add sugar. Lots of sugar and salt and other stuff. And then what happens? You eat it. You eat it and you eat it and you eat it and you eat it. So then what? Well, thanks to the Harvard Public School, we all went on a low-fat diet, the whole of the Western world. And as a result of that, more of us are overweight. A lot of us are obese. A lot of us have diabetes and we have chronic diseases. Now the government has finally come back and said, uh-oh, it kind of boobied. Yeah, the fat thing, not a good idea. And it turns out that eating fat in your diet, eating saturated fat and butter or eggs, didn't actually clog up your arteries. Nope. And other fat, like the so-called unsaturated fat in olive oil and nuts and all this, is really good for you. Because when you're eating fat, you feel full. You don't overeat. You have your meal and you're satiated. That's the technical term for saying you're not going to gorge out, which is what we were all doing on low-fat food. So It took us, what, 20 years to discover this simple fact, that when you eat low-fat food that's full of sugar, that's full of added sugar, this is what happens to you. The blood, your blood just gets surged with sugar. So the sugar levels go really high, and your insulin gets in there and drops it down. When the insulin drops the sugar down, it creates fat cells. I'm talking simplistically here. So you get lots and lots of fat cells. And guess what? You're hungry an hour later, and then you go back and you're snacking again. And the same thing. So you end up in a vicious cycle. And when you're in the vicious cycle, you're just getting more and more overweight. And that predisposes you to diabetes. And there's a huge number of us in America that are now overweight, that are now diabetic because of this low-fat diet. So where are we in 2016? Well, in 2016, it's safe to say this. Fat's back. Fat is taste. And if it's not in your diet, you can't be healthy. So I want to say a big thanks to Harvard Public Health for putting us all on a low-fat diet and making us sicker. And I have to say, even though my grandmother is long, long past, I do owe her an apology. She was right. Relatively uneducated, not medically trained, but her instinct told her that good food was good food, and good food properly prepared will not make you sick. We now know that is absolutely true. 800-222-5222 if you want to chat live in the studio. Whatever's on your mind about your health or your family's health, call in 800-222-5222. So what else was in the new dietary guidelines that the feds gave out? Well, they wanted to emphasize this, and it really ties back to the low-fat diet. The amount of added sugar in your diet has to be kept down to no more than 10% of your calories. Now, what does that mean? If I'm out shopping, if I'm in the supermarket, or I'm in a restaurant, I don't know what 10% of added calories is. What is it? What are they talking about? They're talking about you eating cookies. They're talking about you eating candy. They're talking about you eating pastries. And if you don't understand calories, don't understand 10%, that's okay. Just cut back whatever you're eating. Eat a third less of whatever you're eating. And that will help you with the added sugar. You got to understand, when the feds put out these guidelines, there's a lot of politics. The food industry is in there fighting their corner. The soda industry is in there fighting their corner. They know if the feds properly label foods and say, hey, guess what, buddy? There's a danger level of added sugar in this product. You may not buy it to eat. You may not buy it for your children to eat. So those labels are a little bit off. They're sometime in the future. Hopefully we will get there. Now, the next issue was how much protein should you eat? We all like protein. In fact, I know people in the paleo diet, which I don't understand, all that protein. But what the guidelines have said is we should limit the amount of protein that men and teenage boys eat. And that's kind of startling. That's new. They didn't specify how much less they should eat. Didn't specify what days of the week or where the fish was better. And that, I think, is because of the agri industry is so big. It's about $64 billion. They kind of influenced it. Because the Cattlemen's Association really said, hey, you can't come out against protein. You can't come out against hamburgers and steak. That's un-American. Because American is being what? Overweight? Diabetic? Dying prematurely of a heart attack? No, that's not what it is. And so the take-home message is this. Fat's back, but fat, like everything else, has calories, so it's about portion control. I eat eggs. I eat shrimp. Not so much in the red meat, but you have to watch the portions. That's very important. You should limit the amount of protein. And for the added sugars, you should think of pastries and cookies and candies as a treat. And I would kind of limit your portions to one per day. If it's more than one per day, you're going to end up in trouble. Now, the problem for a lot of us is that we are emotional eaters. You know what I mean? We're happy, we eat. We're stressed, we eat. We just eat because we like to eat. And you really have to think about this in a very simplistic way. There's no perfect diet. There's no perfect food regime. It's all about lifestyle. It's all about your approach to food. Because the dirty secret of this diet industry is this. All diets work, without exception. All diets work in the short term. You want to keep weight off? You have to change your attitude to food. You have to change your approach to food. One of the commonest questions I get in my practice is, hey, doc, can I lose weight and eat fast food? It's like the eternal question. It's like the meaning of life. Can I go to McDonald's? Can I go to Burger King, Taco Bell's? Can I go there, doc, please? Can I go and lose weight? And my answer is always this. Pick a fast food chain, McDonald's, Burger King, whatever it is, whatever your fancy takes you. Get in your car, drive to the fast food outlet, pull up outside, run around the block it's on four times, back in your car, drive to the next one because they're everywhere, they're every few blocks. Get out of your car, run around the block three or four times. Now, you do this often enough, and guess what? You will lose weight. Eating there, I'm not so sure. Eating there, because how many people go in there and eat the low-fat thing of the diet or eat the low-calorie thing, which is much more important, the low-calorie thing of the diet? You get there, the smells, the French fries, the hamburgers, they're all there, right? So you're going to go in and say, I'll have that skinny little salad and stuff. I don't think so. I don't think so. Not at all. You're going to go for the comfort food. You're going to go for the large fries. You're going to go for the big hamburger dripping full of all kinds of stuff. All those sauces, the mayonnaise, the avocado, all of it. That's just, the portions are just too much. That's what you're going to get. And that's what you shouldn't be doing. That's what you absolutely shouldn't be doing. Remember, as much as you exercise, you are what you eat. The way you look is what you eat. Now, when I tell patients that, they always come back and say to me, but doc, you don't understand. Being fat, being overweight, being not the weight I want, just runs in my family. And that's probably true. There are elements of that is true. But if you look at the food that the family eats, look at the food patterns, look at how they approach food, they're all probably approaching it the same way. And at this moment in the 21st century, guess what? We can't adjust your genes. We're heading that way, but we can't do it just yet. So you have to change your behavior. You have to change the way you approach food. You have to change how you're going to live your life if you want to be thin and if you want to be healthy. If you don't want to be thin, you don't want to be healthy, that's your choice. We live in the age of collaboration when it comes to healthcare. You collaborate with your doctor. Doctors will not tell you anything negative now because of patient satisfaction scores. We won't tell you that you're obese. We would never use that word, ever. Everybody that sees us in our office, guess what? They're about 10 pounds overweight, even when they're 80 pounds. Even when we have to buy these massive wheelchairs that are like, would fit two people normally, we have to do that. So we don't tell you anything negative. So you have to do this for yourself. And that's one of the main themes of Dr. Chambers On Call, is that you are responsible for your health. You are the one that controls your health, not your doctor. Not your doctor. It's all about you. All about you. In my next segment, I want to talk about risk versus reward. If he asks you to do a screening test, should you do it? Do you need a mammogram? Do you need a PSA? What you need to understand to control your health? Up next here on Dr. Chambers On Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers On Call will continue answering more of your questions.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barber and John Phillips, will tell you Las Vegas' newest way to take more money out of your pocket.
Vegas, baby!
Well, we sell the pickpockets, though, right? Thank God.
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
But they're downtown.
Yeah.
We won't go there.
Well, I will.
Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Viva Las Vegas!
Comedy tonight!
Cabrillo music.
Theater starts off the new year with mistaken identities, missing bodies, mixed up potions, philandering dads, domineering moms. There's love in the air. And comedy tonight. A funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. Cabrillo Music Theater presents this Tony-winning comic masterpiece live on stage at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, January 29th through February 14th. Tickets on sale at CabrilloMusicTheater.com. Laugh your way into 2016 with A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Cabrillo Music Theater is Broadway in your backyard.
Don't settle for that same old talk radio chatter. Tune in to the most independent voice on the airwaves for a fresh perspective you won't get anywhere else. Sam Nation, every Saturday at 3 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a tech-savvy royal family. Yes, yes, ever since the palace became Wi-Fi enabled, it's become so easy to use the Name Your Price tool on Progressive.com.
I do agree, my queen. Simply telling it what we want to spend and seeing all our policy options, I'll send a screenshot to Duke.
The Duke of Kent?
No, my friend Duke. We're in a group chat together. LOL.
It's easy to find insurance that fits your budget with the Name Your Price tool at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can't recall your own cell phone number, but know the braking distance of a half-ton pickup traveling downhill at 57 miles per hour, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. That's because CarQuest Auto Parts is for those who really know and care about their car. Right now, get a half-inch drive click-style torque wrench, a $34.99 value for just $10 with the purchase of CarQuest Platinum brake pads and two rotors. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
See participating stores for details.
It's Peter Tilton for American Vision Windows, where they're doing it again. They're offering a free upgrade to the sound package. Free upgrade, free expert installation for a window that's probably five times thicker than what you have right now. Call 877-465-2470 or go to AmericanVisionWindows.com.
CSLB number 778-326.
Talk Radio
7779-KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. The number to call, 800-222-5222. Well, whatever is on your mind about your health or your family's health, anything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks, we'll chat about it live on the air here. That's 800-222-5222. Now, recently, the United States Preventive Services Task Force. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Sometimes when I'm going to do this on the air, I have to kind of write it down and look at it and think, who are these guys? Well, they are a bunch of experts. They're sponsored by the feds, paid by the feds, to look at medical data and say, what should we be doing? Because the thing you have to understand is this. Real life medicine, unlike TV shows, isn't black and white. It's not like if this happens and you do this, someone's life is saved. If you take this screening test, you're going to save this many lives. Not at all. What all those experts do is look at all the data, all the studies, and say, hey, if giving one person a screening test or giving 1,000 of them, what happens? Will we save some lives? Will we? Will we? That's the big question. Now, the USPSTF, that's a mouthful, they've come out recently and they said this. Women who were 50 and older, between the ages of 50 and 74, guess what? They should have a mammogram every 2 years, and it will probably will save lives. In the ages between 40 and 50, it's up to the woman. If you're 74, 75 and older, up to the woman again. Now, this is different from a lot of what the other groups are saying. So if you're a woman listening to me, you're going like, hey, what am I supposed to do? What? Please, when should I get my mammogram? Well, I usually tell women in my practice this. This is what you need to do. You need to go to your own doctor. Look at your family history. Do you have a sister? Do you have a mom? Do you have a grandmother? Do you have an aunt with breast cancer? And that will increase your risk. But if you're an average woman with the average risk, you should not be getting a mammogram any more than every 2 years. Any more than every 2 years. I'm going to take our first call here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Let's talk to Archie. Hi, Archie.
Dr. Chambers.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I'm calling you from Berlin, Germany, listening to your show on streaming.
Oh.
On the internet. I'm a huge fan. I follow all of your things on www.drchambersoncall.com. Great information center. I love it.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to hear you on the radio. So I'm very.
That's really sweet, Archie. Happy. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm interested. I'm an anti-nuclear activist, and
okay.
I'm hearing things, and of course, I'm embracing anything that supports my agenda. But what's really the truth about long-term low-level radiation exposure, which is what a lot of us get from the different accidents that take place around the world, like Fukushima 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Chernobyl 30 years ago? Those things are still affecting all of us on some level. I mean, what should we be concerned about, if at all?
Well, radiation, Archie, is always a concern. There is no safe dose of radiation. But here's the thing. Being alive on this planet automatically means that you're exposed to a certain amount of radiation from outer space. It hits us every day. That's the first thing we have to live with. So here in Southern California, Archie, we have a lot of sun. So we have to tell people, cover up, use sunblock, stuff like that, to prevent radiation damage and skin cancer. So what you're talking about is stuff that the average everyday person can't control. If there's a nuclear reactor that goes sour in Japan like that one, there's nothing that Joe Chambers in Los Angeles could do about it, or Archie in Berlin. But what we can do when we're talking to our representatives is say, you know what, is nuclear energy really safe? A lot of people think it is. It's a little bit beyond my expertise to say that it is or it isn't. But would I vote for it? I'm very skeptical. It makes me very nervous. But there is a medical part of this, Archie, that's very important to understand, and it's this. A lot of the tests, a lot of the scans we use in modern medicine uses radiation. CT scans, CAT scans, they're full of radiation. If I do a CAT scan on a person with acute abdominal pain, that's like, hundreds and hundreds of plain x-rays, hundreds of chest x-rays in radiation doses. In fact, we're using these scans so often now, we're terrified that we're causing cancers. We're terrified that we doctors in conventional medicine are causing cancer. So what I tell my patients is this. What you can't control, you can't control. Whether they build nuclear reactors or not is beyond me. But you can't control what happens to your body individually. You can't control how many scans you have. So if you go in with belly pain to your doctor, for instance, and he says to you, I'm not sure what's causing it, but I don't think we need to scan you today. I think it's safe just to wait and see and observe. That's what you should do. That's what you should do. You should not overexpose yourself to medical radiation. So if there's one thing, Archie, you can take out of this hour on Talk Radio 790 KABC is this. Don't overexpose yourself to medical radiation. Always question it. Whether you have belly pain, you need a CAT scan, you have a heart problem, you're getting a heart scan with radiation, you got to question, do you really need it? How often do you need it? Because if you don't, people will err on the side of making the diagnosis. They'll err on the side of overdoing the scans. And trust me, I'm in the trenches. I work every day treating everyday people just like you listening to me. And that's what we're kind of forced into. So you as an individual just have to protect yourself. I'm going to talk to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, doctor. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. No, I've been having this issue with my feet. I can't think of the name of it, but there's warts, those common warts on the bottom of your foot.
Sure.
I've been using the in-store treatment, and it basically goes away. But lately, I've had two of them. I've been using their frozen method to try to get them off, and they just seem to be maybe too deep. I'm wondering, should I just continue on with that?
No.
For the doctor?
A couple of things jump out at me, Mike. The first is your diagnosis correct? Is this a self-diagnosis?
Yes, it is.
Okay, was it aided by Dr. Google?
No, it's not aided by any. No, it's not.
No,
it's
so you
from
didn't.
My own experience of having these, and usually they go away, and then they come back again later.
Sure, that sounds just like everyday warts. For me, I tend to encourage my patients to use Dr. Google in a limited way. Dr. Google also has images that you can compare. But here's the thing, Mike, and this is very important for everybody listening to understand. If you make a diagnosis, whether you're a doctor or a layperson, and you institute some therapy like you have, Mike, and it's not working or it comes back again, always question your diagnosis. Always say to yourself, am I right? Should I be doing something different? What's next? I think for you, Mike, I would suggest that you pop off to your own doctor or go to an urgent care that's local, show them the problem, and ask them, is what you're doing correct, or do they have a better solution? That's always very important to understand. Because if you don't do that, you're gonna keep doing something that's failing. And that's not a good idea. For instance, it's really dangerous in the medical world when your doctor doesn't have a diagnosis. Really dangerous. That's where the biggest mistakes happen. But equally dangerous is if your doctor sticks to the original diagnosis. If he sticks to the original diagnosis, guess what? She or he may be really wrong. And if they're really wrong, then you're going to get much, much sicker. So, Mike, you got to get yourself off to your doc and make sure that the diagnosis you made is the accurate one. Okay? This is Dr. Chambers on call. Mike called me on 800-222-5222. And you can call me, too, with whatever is on your mind about your health. I'm going to talk to Susan. Do we have time for Susan? We do. We're going to go to break. Sorry about that. You want to call? If Susan hangs on, whoever's listening, 800-222-522. This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Stay tuned for the second half of Dr. Chambers on call.
There are times being a genius would really come in handy.
As your doctor, I'm going to give it to you straight. You have a severe case of gustatory horripilation enuresis, and you need to choose between a cystoplastic voluntate treatment or orthostatic muscae surgery. I'll give you a second to think it over, but we'll need an answer right away. It's bad.
But thankfully, you don't need to be a genius to do your own taxes. Because TurboTax's Smart Look feature gives you on-screen assistance to help answer your questions so you're never on your own. Intuit TurboTax. Taxes done smarter. Feature availability varies by product and platform.
Geico presents Kathy, the Candid Realtor.
Through this door, you've got your guest bathroom. And the mosaic tile you see on the floor is original to the house. It's in such great shape, your friend's foot will slip right off it when he gets out of the shower and land him in a sling for 6 weeks.
It's hard to know all that comes with renting a home or apartment. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting covered for accidents and personal property loss quick and easy. Visit geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
After 30 years of exceptional nationwide growth and expansion, two men and a truck, Movers Who Care, are coming up on their first anniversary in Los Angeles. The well-known brand originated in Michigan and earned a 96% referral rate by sticking to its core values. Two men offer premium home and business moving services down the block or across the country. If you're planning a move, go with the extensively trained, courteous, and reliable moving pros you'll find at Two Men and a Truck, the official movers of the LA Kings radio broadcast. Moving your puck? Use their truck. TwoMen.com. That's TWOMen.com.
Get news, weather, sports, markets, and traffic first on the Fours.
Oh my God, that's right. That's a great idea.
Only here.
KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. You can call me live in the studio here, 800-222-5222. But whatever is on your mind about your health, anything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks, 800-222-5222. Now, we all know bad boy Charlie Sheen has been in the news lately. Unfortunately, Mr. Sheen was diagnosed with HIV. But recently, Charlie did something really, really common. And it shocked people. It shocked him because he's got a life-threatening disease. And guess what? He stopped taking his meds. And there's a lesson in this for all of us. But first, I want to talk to Susan before I get into that story. Hi, Susan.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on?
Well, I'm pretty good at staying fit and exercising. But, good. You know, you have days where you're just a little sluggish. So I've seen advertised these little devices called Fitbits.
Yeah.
And a couple of my friends have them, and they claim that they're a wonderfully effective way to monitor your amount of exercise and that they do a whole bunch of other things as well. So I was wondering if you're familiar with the device and what your opinion would be of it. And is it just a temporary fad, or is it really as effective as all the advertising says and some of my friends?
Well, there, always with Susan, with these things, there's a bit of a fad. Have you tried Fitbit yourself?
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, coincidentally, Susan, I'm actually wearing a Fitbit. And that's what's funny about this. But let me just tell you that this concept going around, Susan, that if you walk 10,000 steps a day, you're going to be really healthy. If you walk 10,000 steps a day, you'll end up looking like Beyonce. And that's not true. That's not going to happen. Step counting came back from the 1960s. There was a Japanese program or something, and the marketing department decided that 10,000 was a good round figure to advertise and sell consumers. And that's where we got to 10,000 from. So I'm not sure how effective it is. The thing is that I want you to understand, Susan, and everybody listening to me, is that we as a society in America don't walk around much. We don't move at all. We're pretty sedentary. So anything that gets you off the couch, anything that gets you off your chair, I'm for. So if you get a Fitbit and you're walking, that's wonderful. But here's the thing that you must understand, Susan. If you want to stay healthy, if you want to prevent heart disease, your heart rate has to rise. Your heart rate has to go up, and it has to be a sustained level for you to get the benefits of the exercise. And just everyday walking is good, and I encourage everybody to do it, because all you need to walk is what? Feet, shoes, and do it. You don't need friends, don't need fancy equipment, don't need a gym membership. It's there for you. So I encourage everybody listening to me that's not exercising, go walk. Just go walk. But the more sophisticated ones are now looking at your heart rate and doing a little map. They have all these little algorithms where they're calculating how far you're walking. Does your heart rate go up when you're going up a hill? How intense your exercise is. And I think Fitbit is starting to do this. Fitbit will tell you what your resting heart rate is, and the lower, of course, the better. But you do need to push your heart rate up when you're exercising, and that's about intensity. And if you don't have some kind of intense exercise, you can't really get fit. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. There's one that's just slipping my mind now. What's it called? It's Milo. And what they do is they have this special little formula where they're looking at the intensity of all the workouts you're doing, and they give you a score, what they're calling a PAI. And they're saying if you get this score, which is really based on your heart rate, up to around 100 and stay there, you'll lose weight if you're trying to lose weight, and it makes you fit. Now, I'm not knocking Fitbit because I'm actually wearing it, but I think whatever is going to get you out there and exercise is very important. Now, Susan, do you do any weightlifting or anything like that?
I do, yes.
You do? How often do you do
that? I walk about 3.5-4 miles in the morning at about 3.2 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But then 3 times a week I do 30 minutes on an elliptical machine.
Yeah.
And then I do upper body pulls on a weight machine, but not every day, but at least 5 days a week.
That's pretty good. Now, I can tell you, Susan, the majority of people listening to us here do not do that. You don't do anything remotely like that. So you're one of the good ones.
Well, I told you I tried to stay fit.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to get across to everybody is this. The reality is, if there's any elixir of youth out there, if there's anything that keeps you young, if there's anything that makes you look 10 years younger than you actually are, it's exercise. It's the one thing. Now, they're actually struggling to put exercise into a pill, exercise into a bottle to give it to you, but they haven't done it yet. He really haven't. And this is not a joke. They are actively trying to do this. What the whole thing in genetics is this. There's a thing in your cell called telomeres. And they lengthen as you get older. And the goal for everybody is to keep them shorter, because that's what happens in young people. So there's people out there working in the lab trying to get the pill to give you, to sell you, to make you younger. I don't know whether that will be next year or in 5 years, but they're working on it. In the meantime, what is the elixir of youth? Exercise. You got to exercise. I'm going to talk to Sandra next. Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I'd like to know what you think about the Daniel Plan.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the Daniel Plan is?
Well, it's something that I've been inspired by my friend. I didn't go through any of the classes or find out, you know, everything about it, but basically it's to detox yourself in the beginning. Without any dairy, sugar, caffeine, and you do that for 10 days.
Okay.
And then you bring back maybe one of those things to see how your body reacts to that.
Okay. And have you tried this, Sandra?
Yes, In fact, right after Christmas was over, I just decided I wasn't going to do.
I wasn't going to do any of that. Yeah.
And I'm feeling so good. My joints are feeling better because I'm off the sugar.
Sure.
And caffeine. So, okay. But I do drink green tea.
All right, you're off the caffeine. Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't think I could live like that. So,
the green tea has half the caffeine, so I'm okay does. With that. But
so
anyway,
Sandra, let me ask you this.
That.
Do you think you'll be able to stick to this diet for very long?
Well, it's a day-to-day process. It's not something that I can think of, you know, long-term as I'm just doing things every day, you know, to make me feel better that day.
Sure.
And that's pretty much all I can do.
Okay.
But, I just wondered what you thought about it.
Okay, here's my prejudice, and let me tell everybody what it is. When someone tells me they want to detox, when someone tells me they have this new diet that they want to exclude good food from, I go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I run from fad diets. They're a joke. They don't work. As I mentioned in one of the earlier segments, the dirty secret of the diet industry is this. All diets work in the short term. None of them work in the medium to long term. So you have to change your attitude to foods. Now, Sandra felt better going on this diet because, like most of us in the holiday season, we were probably all over-drinking, overeating. Everywhere you went, there was pastries, candy, cookies. There was everything around. So you were eating it. You were over-drinking. So you cut that back, and all of a sudden, you feel good. Personally, I went to Europe for Christmas. First time home in Dublin for what? 20-odd years. I had all the childhood treats, all of them, more than I should have. And of course, I put on weight. Now I'm back home, back in L.A. I've cut them out. I feel better. I feel kind of dumb for doing that and gaining some more weight. Not weight that I need. Not weight that I need, let me tell you that. So diets, fads, out. Detox, out. Colon cleansing, dumb. All that means is you're taking a laxative and stuff comes out. You got to understand your GI tract is what? A sausage. Stuff in at the top, stuff at the bottom, but there's always stuff in the middle. Always. Always. There can never not be stuff in the middle. So I don't recommend that. The only diet that I'm aware of, the only diet that I recommend, the only diet that has been conclusively shown to make people live longer is the Mediterranean diet, which is a lot of fish, a lot of fruit and veggies, some cheese. Cheese, yes, you heard me. And yogurt. Coupled with that, most of those people who got the longevity, who lived longer, who lived to a much older age, they exercised. Exercise wasn't something they went to the gym to do. It wasn't something they paid a trainer to do. It was just incorporated into their everyday life. Incorporated into their everyday life. They're meeting their friends. They walk to the coffee shop. Meeting their friends in the evening for a glass of wine. Down they walk to the bar. They tended not to use cars the way we do here in Los Angeles or Southern California. So what my advice to you all is forget these fad diets. Forget this, I'm going to exclude this, I'm going to exclude the other. Because inevitably you're going to exclude stuff that's good for you. Because what you have to understand is we don't know everything there is about food. We don't. Some of our knowledge is severely lacking. We don't know, for instance, if we give you mega doses of a certain part of a food that's good for you, like a vegetable, whether it'll actually be toxic or not. We don't know. But what we do know is a plant-based diet with lots of fruit and vegetables, people feel healthier, they are healthier, and they don't go on to develop diabetes and obesity. All of those things. They just don't. So I took more calls than I intended. So if you want to call in, we have one more waiting. We'll take it in the next segment. You can call, and the number is 800-222-5222. Anything that's on your mind, this is the first show of Dr. Chambers on Call. So whatever you want to talk about, I'm happy to talk about. That's 800-222-5222 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Stay tuned for more Dr. Chambers on Call.
What if I told you there's a firm that will create a customized portfolio and financial plan for you and offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee? Think it doesn't exist? Think again.
Hi, I'm Mo Ansari, president of Compaq Asset Management. When you start a new relationship with Compaq, we'll create your customized investment portfolio and financial plan dedicated to help you reach your goals. Try us out for a year. If you're not happy for any reason, you'll get all of the management and maintenance fee that you paid refunded. This is our 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Call Compaq Asset Management at 800-388-9700 to find out more. That's 800-388-9700. Satisfaction guarantee doesn't apply to fees and commissions charged by third parties for such things as insurance products or mutual fund redemptions. It also doesn't apply to any market losses which might occur in an account. For additional information regarding this guarantee, please see the disclosure brochure available at the time you enroll or upon request.
Compaq Asset Management is a registered investment advisor. Funds custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
We used to make a distinction between the famous and the infamous, but now we really don't make that distinction. You are famous just because we know who you are. Like the whole Kardashian crowd is famous. But really, when somebody on the level of talent as Bowie and Glenn Frey passes, then you start to see where the rubber meets the road, because these songs are anthems for moments in people's lives, and they just live so much beyond the artist. And that's not going to be the case when the Z-listers go bye-bye.
McIntyre in the morning
with Terry Ray Elmer. Mornings at 5 on 790 KABC. The ultimate talking machine. Live and local. KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. The number to call, 800-222-5222. Whatever's on your mind about your health, anything from hemorrhoids to heart attack, I'm live in the studio. Be happy to take your call. That's 800-222-5222. Now, Charlie Sheen was in the news recently because, sadly, he became HIV positive. He actually tried to keep it hidden for about, what, 4 or 5 years, and ended up literally spending millions and millions of dollars so that he wouldn't expose him to the tabloids. Eventually, he came out on the Today Show, and he said, look, I'm HIV positive. I've seen conventional doctors. My virus level is zero. Zero, which means it's not detectable in his bloodstream. This doesn't mean that he's cured of HIV. No, not at all. But it does mean he's not contagious. It does mean that if he had sex with somebody, that they wouldn't necessarily get the virus because it's at a zero range. It does not mean that he's cured. Now, that's very important to understand, that he's not cured, he doesn't have AIDS, but he's got the virus. And that we have medicines in conventional medicine that will control this virus, and that Charlie should, if he's faithful to the medical regime, and that's a big if for Charlie, right, to be faithful to anything. If he takes the medicines as he's supposed to, he will live a long life. He will live a life and something else will shorten it, but not to HIV. So that's great. You feel happy for him. He's on top of it. And then what does he do? Short space of time, he's off to Mexico. Yes, because you know why? Mexico has a cure for AIDS. Mexico has a cure for HIV, and we here in the U.S. don't. We just don't have it. We do not have this cure. So he went to see this doctor. The doctor gave him the cure, and believe it or not, he took blood, according to what I've read, from Charlie Sheen, injected it into himself and said, see, Charlie, see how much I believe in my cure? Otherwise, Charlie, would I inject my blood into my, your blood rather, into me? Now, when I read this, I thought like, whoa, isn't that a red flag? Shouldn't you just run out of that clinic immediately? Isn't that guy off the wall? So Charlie came back to Los Angeles and he felt good, felt okay. Then after a short while, he didn't feel so good. No, wasn't so happy. He went back to his doctors, his conventional doctors, and guess what happened? Guess what? The virus was back, zooming up in his bloodstream. So they had to whack him with the AIDS cocktail again, or beg your pardon, the HIV cocktail again. And apparently his HIV virus is back at what we call non-detectable. So he's not contagious and he's going to do well, at least as long as he takes the medicine. So what's the take-home message for you? You're listening to me. There's not many people out there with HIV. So what's the take-home message to you? It's what every working doctor in L.A. knows. That one of the commonest reasons medicines don't work is people don't take them. People think they magically will get better without the pill. I can't tell you how many times in my life someone has come back and complained about one of my colleagues and said, they gave me this and that, I'm not better, what is going on? And then you say, did you take the medicine? And there's a million excuses as to why not. And this isn't just obviously for trivial diseases like, say, a sinusitis. It's also in life-threatening diseases like HIV or cancer. Because people get scared. They get afraid of the side effects. And people always come in and say to me, you know what, I want an alternative treatment. I don't like conventional medicine. There's too many side effects. And alternative therapy, as Charlie went, is different than what people like me offer. I understand that. But when I offer you something, or conventional medicine offers you something, we've studied it. We know the side effects. We know its limitations. And generally, we should, if we don't, share this with you. When you take alternative therapy, there is no studies. We don't know what you're taking. We don't know if it will work. We don't know any of those. But it is your right, like it was Charlie Sheen's right, to go down to Mexico and take the alternative treatment. What I want you to understand when you're listening to me here today is this. When you make that decision, you're becoming your own doctor. You're accepting it, whatever will happen, and that's okay. I don't object to that. I just want you to understand the risk. There's no such thing as a safe alternative. Everything you ingest has problems. You drink too much water, you got to pee. Everything that you put into your body will give you some kind of side effects. I'm going to clear off a couple of calls here. Let's talk to Ernie. Hi, Ernie.
Hi.
Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Dr. Chambers.
How are you?
Well, I wish I could say better. I was going in for Hyaluron injections in my knees.
Yeah?
And the doctor looked at my x-ray and ordered a bone scan.
Okay.
And they found out that I have really bad osteoporosis.
Okay.
And I just saw endocrinology at the VA.
Okay.
And they ordered some lab work, a chest x-ray, a spine x-ray, and an MRI of the brain. And I wanted to check with you. Now, the doctor said there's three different alternative medications I can use.
Mm-hmm.
One is intravenous annually.
Yeah.
Another one is an injection. And one is a daily intradermal injection.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't actually prescribed that, but I am familiar with it.
I was just wondering, what do you think would be the best alternative? I'm legally blind, and my wife has epilepsy, but the VA provides me with
transport
and home helpers.
Oh, good. Good.
And so they will send somebody out to give me the injections if I need them. But I just wanted to get your opinion as to what you think the best way to go with this is, because I have a lot of medical conditions.
Okay. So, Ernie, do you have symptoms from the osteoporosis? Have you had any fractures, or have you lost height, anything like that?
I have pain in my bones. My body aches. My doctor is very afraid if I fall, I'm going to break something very easily.
Okay. Well, it does sound like you very much have to go on something, Ernie. There's no question about that. Now, what I was talking about earlier, which is compliance, which is, can you take the medicine? Can you get to the medicine? Now, it's good that the VA will take you on a daily basis if you need that. I tend to go towards the easy route. Now, I'm not going to choose between the various therapies for you, Ernie, because I don't have enough of your background. That would be foolish for me. What I am going to suggest to you is talk to your doctor about the once a year and see if that is viable for you. And if you're concerned that you just want a second opinion, I always tell people in my practice, go back to your primary care physician. Go back to her and ask her, like, look, this is what the VA are recommending. You know me. You know my history. You know my complications. You know my social condition. What is the best approach for me? And I think if you do that, you get an objective, unbiased opinion about what the best approach is for you. We're running out of time here. I want to try and squeeze in the rest of the calls. Let's talk to Teresa. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Dr. Chambers. Love your show. I could stay on a half an hour for you with all the things I'm thinking of. But anyway, I want to talk about two things.
One is
my sisters and my mother, she's not alive now, but did very well on the Weight Watchers diet, and it kind of kick-started them to eating in a better way. You know.
Good.
But anyway, my thing is I'm a thin person. As a matter of fact, I'm running while I talk to you right now.
Okay. Good.
And I do weights, and everything's good except for my stomach. To me, it's fatter than it should be. One thing is about a year ago, I started having to take these antibiotics because I have MAC.
Yeah.
You know what MAC is? Yeah. Can that affect your stomach, make it be more bloated?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. So do you
take probiotics,
you do. Good, good. See, here's the thing, Teresa. What I try to tell everybody in my practice, and everybody listening should understand this. When you take antibiotics, it's not a simple thing. When you take antibiotics, it's not just going to magically make you better without consequences. As I mentioned earlier, you drink a lot of water, you're going to pee. When you take antibiotics, it's going to upset your tummy. It's going to alter all the bacteria in your gut. And here's what you have to understand. When I was a kid growing up, bugs, bacteria were all evil. Kill them all. Every single one of them, get them. But we now know that's not true. We now know there are good bugs and bad bugs. And if we don't look after the good bugs, the bad bugs take over and you end up getting sick. The classic example with antibiotics is a form of diarrhea called Clostridium difficile. And this can be life-threatening. It's due to the antibiotics. And it makes the bad guys, the bad bugs in your colon take over, and you get profound, profuse diarrhea. And the only way we can treat this is by giving you more antibiotics. And believe it or not, even then sometimes we can't do it. And what we are doing is transplanting poop, good bugs from somebody else who's healthy into the sick person, and they're getting better. Yes, you heard me right. You heard me right. Poop transplants. This is the new treatment for this. So when you take antibiotics, it can bloat you, it can give you diarrhea, and it can even get more serious. So two take-home things. Don't take antibiotics unless you absolutely have to. When you take antibiotics, I recommend a probiotic. I'm going to squeeze in one more call. Hi, Doris.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay, how are you? I'm calling about my sinus.
Yeah?
It doesn't seem to get any better, and I'd like to know if you can suggest something.
Okay. What are the symptoms? Do you have sinus pressure, Doris?
Do I have pressure?
Headache? Do you have a headache?
No headaches.
What do you have?
Just stopped up on one side of my head.
I got it. Okay, Doris, here's my bias. When it comes to sinusitis, don't really believe in antibiotics. Don't think they do that much good. They're overprescribed here. So if you have sinusitis, think about it. I would get a nasal spray, Doris, that will take down that pressure, take out that clogged up feeling. That's the best thing you got to do. I've got to run. I'm almost out of time. You've been listening to my show. If you want to follow me during the week, my website is drchambersoncall.com. If you want to see some of my videos, you want to talk. My latest video is about my granny and Harvard and how she was right about fat and Harvard was wrong. It's a fun video. It'll make you laugh, but it'll also teach you a little something about fat and what you shouldn't have. Every Saturday from noon to 1, I'll be here. You can call me live with your medical question. Whatever is on your mind, that's what this show is about. This show is about you and your health. I want to teach you some stuff. I want to educate you. But I also want to entertain you. This show won't be about broccoli. Though sometimes we squeeze a bit of broccoli in with chocolate. But it's about having fun, about understanding your body, and about understanding what you need to do just to stay healthy and live longer. This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.